Good morning, family. Welcome to the second Sunday of Advent. Advent is all about waiting. Advent is all about preparing. But for whom or what are we waiting and preparing? It's Jesus, right? Jesus promised us that he would come to us, that he would come again. So we prepare ourselves to receive him. We wait and we watch. We look and we long. We hope. And we pray for Jesus to appear. And if there's one thing that the Christmas story tells us, it's that Jesus does show up. He does appear. He does keep his promises. So we remind ourselves and each other that Jesus shows up in the least likely of places, in the most unlikely moments, and in the most unexpected ways, right? This Advent season, we're looking at the gospel according to Matthew. And today I'd like us to look at Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, where we'll hear a familiar voice shouting a familiar message. Are you ready? Hear the word of the Lord. John the Baptist began preaching out in the Judean wilderness. His constant theme was, "Turn from your sins, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is coming soon." Isaiah the prophet had told about John's ministry centuries before. He had written, "I hear a shout from the wilderness, prepare a road for the Lord, straighten out the path where he will walk." John's clothing was woven from camel's hair, and he wore a leather belt. His food was locusts and wild honey. People from Jerusalem and from all over the Jordan Valley, and in fact from every section of Judea, went out to the wilderness to hear him preach. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to be baptized, he denounced them. "You sons of snakes," he warned. "Who said that you could escape the coming wrath of God? Before being baptized, prove that you have turned from sin by doing worthy deeds. Don't try to get by as you are, thinking, 'We are safe, for we are Jews, descendants of Abraham.' That proves nothing. God can change these stones here into Jews. And even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised to chop down every unproductive tree. They will be chopped and burned. With water I baptize those who repent of their sins. But someone else is coming, far greater than I am, so great that I am not worthy to carry his shoes. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He will separate the chaff from the grain, burning the chaff with never-ending fire and storing away the grain." This is the word of God for you, the people of God. So we say, thanks be to God. Even though it's only the second Sunday of Advent, I'm kinda done with Christmas. Like everyone else, I suppose, I find it difficult to maintain a quiet space for the Advent season without getting sucked into the holiday spirit of the season, the parties, the decorating, the shopping. Since it's only December 4th, it already seems like a losing battle with businesses and people determined to play Christmas music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. For many people, this time of year is stressful. The National Institutes of Health report that people report experiencing more anxiety and depression around Christmas. There's less sunlight. We have irrational expectations and financial stress. Couple that with over-the-top commercialization, and you can see why there's an increase in sadness, can't you? According to the report, many experience increased holiday pressure to perform perfectly. And just as we're all beginning to feel overwhelmed by this impending holiday, who shows up on our doorstep? It's John the Baptist. On this second Sunday of Advent, we always find him here, knee-deep in the muddy Jordan River, wearing only animal skins and a handmade belt, ranting like some street preacher, "Repent, you sons of snakes! The kingdom of heaven has come near." Every year around this time, John the Baptist shows up like an unwanted relative. You know the one you're obligated to invite even though no one really wants to deal with him, right? It's tempting to try to avoid John if, like me, you're feeling a little frazzled. But it's not possible, because every year, like clockwork, on the second Sunday of Advent, John shows up. Now, all four Gospels give us a little different take on the story of Jesus. While Matthew and Luke bring the Magi to our Christmas party, Mark and John show up empty-handed. But John the Baptist is the first point on which all four Gospels can agree. John appears in the same location and with the same message in all four Gospels. Turn to God because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he bellows. Make the Lord's way ready. No matter which Gospel you choose, John has to come before Jesus. Do you know why? Because John is the last of the prophets. And that makes him pretty important. John is the embodiment of the entire prophetic tradition. I mean, just look at him. He looks like Elijah. He talks like Isaiah. And there he is, standing in the same river that separated the promised land from the wilderness all those years ago when God delivered his people from slavery. John is important. He gives us continuity, and he connects us to the prophetic tradition. Now, that's significant because Jesus is not a one-off. He's not some alien presence who correlates with an antiquated custom. Instead, John is here to proclaim to the world that Jesus is the branch that sprouts from Jesse's root, which is prophetic speech that means that God's promise is fulfilled in Jesus. That's why John declares, "Repent, turn from your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is coming soon." But there's yet another factor that makes John the Baptist important. Hear those words again. Repent, turn from your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is coming soon. Although John may resemble the ancient prophets, his message was fresh. His method heavily drew on the prophetic tradition. In fact, it almost resembled an equation. God will punish us if we sin, but if we confess our sins, God will pardon us. We find this recurring theme of shape up or else over and over again in the Old Testament books of Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Joel. The behavior of humanity, or the faithfulness or unfaithfulness of Israel, is the variable that determines the result of this holy equation. But that's not John's message. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah said, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger." But wait, there's more. The prophet Joel declared, "Before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood." If John used the approaching kingdom of heaven as a threat, then we could assume that it was something to be feared rather than welcomed and celebrated. But he wasn't saying that at all. John didn't even use the heavenly kingdom as a reward. The phrase, "Repent, and the kingdom of God will come near," does not cross John's lips. Now, some people believe that, right? Some folks buy into a more merit-based faith or theology. Those who abide by a prosperity gospel believe that there's a covenant between God and people in the Bible. If those people have faith in God, then God will reward them with safety and prosperity, right? It sounds a bit like Santa Claus. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good, for goodness sake, right? John, however, was certainly not saying that. No, John the Baptist came to tell us that the important factor in this equation is not us. The good news is not dependent on our behavior. Instead, God is responsible for what occurs in Jesus Christ. The heavenly kingdom is now within reach. John announces a brand new truth, and it's very good news. Whether or not we choose to participate in it, the kingdom of God is coming. So it's time to turn around. It's time to repent. Now, we don't use the word repent much outside of church, do we? Most people assume that the word repent means to apologize. But that's not entirely true. To repent means to change one's mind. More generally, repenting is a reorienting, a reordering, a recentering of one's life. It might help to think of it as a reset. Now, if you're like me, there are times when your computer doesn't work properly, right? What do? Do you throw it away? Do you hit it with a hammer? I hope not. The first thing you do probably is reset it, right? When I reset my computer, it stops misbehaving and starts behaving like it's supposed to. The author, Anne Lamott, once wrote, "Almost everything will work again if you unplug it for a few minutes, including you." The point here is sometimes we need a spiritual reset when our values are off, don't we? And that's John's message. The kingdom of heaven is now, and we don't want to miss it, right? So we need to rearrange our lives. We need to set new priorities. We need to get back to God. That's the core message of John the Baptist. For those who struggle this time of year, this message should be encouraging. It is for me, anyway. For anyone who has struggled to live up to the standards set by society or the season, there is good news. Many people, both then and now, are stuck in the old logic, playing a losing game, because we'll never be kind enough or decent enough or trustworthy enough. But John's message offers hope in a world where it seems as though the odds are stacked against us. There is light in this new day that shines on everyone. The kingdom of heaven has drawn close, so repent. God offers you a reset. This is the remedy that soothes our holiday blues. This is the tranquility that calms our anxiety. The best way to get ready for the birth of Jesus is to reset your life, right? So don't ignore John the Baptist. Sure, he's back in the same spot, saying the same things, but this year he has brought us a wonderful gift. It's a chance to start over, an opportunity to repent, to reset. That's what Advent is for, isn't it? Let's pray. Good and gentle God, thank you for the opportunity that Advent brings for us to reset our lives. Help us to repent and to follow you. We need to follow you. We need you. So guide us, we pray. Take us to places where you would go. Give us words that you would use so that in this Advent season of promise and preparation, we might point the way with John the Baptist to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Father, we pray today for those who are sick. We pray for everyone who is in pain. We pray for those who are tired, for folks who are uncertain, and for those who need direction. We continue to pray for peace today. Lands and lives are scarred by war. Communities are terrorized by violence. Neighborhoods are torn apart by drugs. And relationships are destroyed by politics. We need your healing and your peace. We pray for those who are afraid. We pray for peace for anyone and everyone feeling stress, pressure, and uncertainty. We ask for justice today. Fill us with your Spirit to work for peace, to bring justice, and to offer grace and mercy. You made us out of love. You created us to love. So help us to love others. Others who don't look like us or live like us. Others who don't vote like us or believe like us. Others who don't speak like us or share our agenda or values. Help us to love no matter what. And now using the words debts and debtors, let us pray with boldness the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And as always, Thank you for joining me today. I really do hope these words were helpful to you. If they were, will you like, review, and share this message? If you leave a good review, it will help other people to find and benefit from these thoughts and these prayers. By the way, if you have a prayer request or a need, please leave a message in the comments section and be assured that I will be praying for you and for that need. This week, your job is to love at least 3 people and make sure at least one of them doesn't deserve it. Why? Because everyone needs love and everyone needs to know that God loves them no matter what, right? Remember, with Jesus, we always, always, always have hope. Now, receive these words of benediction today. May the Lord bless you and protect you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and grant you his peace. Amen. Amen.